If you could throw yourself a bat mitzvah today,
right?
What would your theme be?
I think it would be the color pink. Oh,
oh my god!
I'm getting so excited right now.
No, I love it. My bat mitzvah was the color purple, not the like the color purple. Everything was purple.
I'm like the black woman who wants to have a bat mitzvah. You're the Jewish woman who had a color purple themed bat mitzvah. You know what? We're all trying our best in life.
Hi, my name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. And when I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera, which I combined into a batzañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult. This is Bless These Braces. Hi, everyone. My guest today is an actress who has starred in shows like Keenan and AP Bio, and you can listen to her on her podcast, Datemare, which I'm dying to listen to. The stunning and gorgeous Haley Marie Norman, welcome to Bless These Braces.
Oh my gosh, I love, thanks for calling me stunning and gorgeous.
All of it.
I love that this is like a coming of age podcast, because I definitely wasn't, I'm not saying that I'm stunning and or gorgeous now, but I'm going to say that I wasn't always stunning and or gorgeous.
Or didn't feel stunning or gorgeous.
That's exactly what it was, actually. Yes. I didn't feel stunning and or gorgeous.
I know. I'm sure you were, but I felt the same.
Yeah, right?
I referred to myself as a wet rat for all of middle school.
Wait, I'm sorry that.
Sad.
While you were in middle school, you were like, I'm a wet rat. Oh, are you in therapy now? Do you have a therapist?
Well, I just fired her, but yes, I was.
Oh my God.
And I always
have
been. I know. Are you?
I just started a new therapist. We're like 3 or 4 weeks in.
How are we doing?
I think I like her, but I think that there's one part of my life that she like is a little too opinionated about.
What part?
I can't say.
Oh, fuck.
But there's a little part of my life where I'm like, I can tell she's like trying to be neutral, but like maybe she's not doing a great job.
And the thing is, like, in an ideal world, you'd be like, hey, I feel that you're being too opinionated. But like, will you do that?
I think I will, actually.
Good for you.
I think I will. I think I'm going to, I mean, I was actually thinking I'm going to say that next
session. For you. I'm starting to learn to say when something bothers me, but it's like, that's like the hardest thing
but
for me.
But doesn't it feel so good after?
Oh my God. It's like shitting bricks.
It's in a good way. But then you're like, I'm so proud of myself.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
That's where I have gotten my self-esteem from that I didn't have when I was in eighth grade and all that stuff.
Oh my God.
It's like just standing in my power even when it was scary.
Yes.
And then it's like cumulative. And now I'm like, I'm a boss-ass, badass bitch.
100%. I'm still working on it, but like, absolutely. It was little things like, I remember my parents taking me to Fantastic Sam's to get my hair cut. And the lady that washed my hair, this is like before middle school started, burned my scalp like with hot water.
Yeah.
And I was like unable to be like, ow, turn it colder. Like, so God. Sad, you know, like you just want to please everyone.
You want to please everyone. I actually have photos around my house of like this age, like 6th through 8th grade, like of myself to like send myself love in those timelines.
Yes.
So I feel like that's something that could be helpful to you, is like just being there for that little girl version of you who's like scared to say your head was on fire.
On fire. Like I was being tortured.
You were being tortured.
Oh my God. We like got into it right away, but I wanted to say that.
I don't do small talk.
Yeah, no, same. Off camera, like as we met, we were discussing how our crushes, and I was saying how Fraser Crane, I mean, like not the person, but like the character to me is very hot.
Yes.
And you were telling me that.
Oh, that I've had 2 sex dreams about Jerry Seinfeld?
Yes. Yes.
Which I didn't even realize that that's like such an insane, like I was on like a first date and I like very like casually told the guy like, well, I've had like 2 sex dreams about Jerry Seinfeld, and it didn't even register to me that that would be like an interest, like kind of a weird thing to say until he
was
mentioned
like,
it later.
But it's not, but I get it too. Were they like the kind of dream that when you wake up you're like, I'm in love with Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah. And one was like a sex dream that was like Jerry circa the Seinfeld years.
Sure.
But then one was us like now, like Jerry now. I'm so sorry, Jessica. And we were like in his Range Rover in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm Jerry Seinfeld's girlfriend.
Call us, Jerry. Would you ever? Let's say you were single.
Yeah.
And he asked you.
I mean, duh. Yeah.
Okay, great. Just checking.
I would be insane to not go on to date Jerry Seinfeld.
I probably would too. What the fuck am I talking about?
Yeah. Why not? If what? He was on the market, he would be like the most eligible bachelor.
He's not though, right?
No, he's not. He's married to Jessica Seinfeld. And she seems amazing.
What, when you were, because I didn't even say this podcast is about being a teenager and coming of age and the very worst years of our lives. When you were that age, who were your crushes?
Okay, so my crushes, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
Obvi.
Yes.
And Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And also, I'll just be real and say also Alicia Keys.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Like I'm bi. Yeah. And I, at the time I was in being like eight, whenever, like, and seeing Alicia Keys and being like, I connected with her because I'm mixed race. So yeah. I was like, oh, and there's not a lot of, like, especially then, like, mixed race celebs who are doing their thing. So at first I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. This girl has like a similar story to me. But then I was like, this feels different. So I also had a little crush on Alicia.
I love JTT for me. Ugh. Too. Do you remember there was like his phone number was going around?
I don't, but I'm glad because I would have run up the plug in the landline phone bill calling him.
There's no way it was real, but it was like, I feel like it was a rumor was going around that like, this is JTT's number. And like, I don't know. I think I called it and like, it was busy. Who the fuck knows?
His movie, Man of the House, came out on my birthday one year. And I took that as a sign from the universe that we were meant to be married. Yeah, I did. And then another year on New Year's Eve, it was really when I was like, okay, whatever you do at the stroke of midnight is going to dictate like your whole year.
Yes.
So again, I was probably like 12 or something. And I put on point shoes because I did ballet and I wanted to like be on point that year. And I jumped up and did a ballet move while kissing a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio right at midnight.
My God, that's like some OCD shit.
OCD shit.
Oh, that is adorable.
I got on point, but I never actually I did. Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell that story in this podcast. I did have an opportunity with Leah.
You crossed paths.
We crossed.
Ah,
that's all.
Isn't it crazy? Like, I've had like some run-ins that I'm like, if only the child in me knew. Even today, like driving to do this, I like drove by the Hollywood sign and I'm like, I'm a fucking child from South America that like was poor. Like, what is my life?
Yeah.
Like, God bless.
I will say
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, I love that. After my little run-in with Leonardo DiCaprio, it was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I went into the I can't believe I'm telling this story.
I went into
the bathroom of the Beverly Hills Hotel and started crying. This is me as an adult. Not because of him, but because I just, like, I couldn't believe that I met Leo, and I felt like at first he thought I was going to be like a cool girl, but I just like couldn't hold, like I literally forgot my words. And I ended up like really being like kind of a dork.
Yes.
And I went into the bathroom and I cried at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I just embarrassed myself in front of Leonardo DiCaprio.
They're larger than life. Like,
yeah,
there.
And I think it worked out better because there would have been a situation where like I would have had like a hookup story or something.
Yes.
That's not a story that I need or want.
Or maybe. I'm not going to get into this too much, but a couple of years ago, I kind of became friends with Brad Pitt.
Are you still friends with Brad Pitt?
Not really, but like not because anything bad happened. We just didn't hang out. But like I went to Brad Pitt's house and like peed in his toilet and hung out there. And
God,
it was like one of those
so
things
mad.
Of like, oh, my God.
You're friends with Brad Pitt.
I was.
You were friends with. Okay. You know, Brad has like a thing for black women.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so if you ever become friends with him again,
I'll give you a call. I think it'll be your dream scenario is Brad and Jerry.
Yeah. Oh my God. Don't get me
so
excited.
Horrifying.
Don't. I'm ovulating. I'm already.
Oh my God. So one thing I want to talk about is you were a I called you a child performer earlier and you corrected me. You said, no, I was a child model.
I was a child performer. I was just, I did a lot of modeling, but I was a child performer. Yeah.
Tell me everything.
Okay.
Tell me when it started. I'm obsessed with that.
Okay. Well, okay. So first I'm going to say, like, to keep in the, also the spirit of like not fitting in and feeling like a dork, mm-hmm. like it was really crazy for me, like, especially looking back on it, that I was made a living for myself as a child, like model and performer, but I felt so ugly. And I felt that way because I grew up in predominantly white schools. Like there would often, I was like the only black girl in the class. And so I never fit in. And no one had hair like mine. Mm-hmm. I was made fun of for it. I was like constantly teased. And so I internalized all of that. And it's just so weird to look back and be like, I was making money based on the way I looked, and probably the outside perception of it would be like, yeah, this girl has to know that she's cute because she's making money. But no. I felt so bad inside. Yeah. And I carried that for a long time. Like, even I was on Deal or No Deal, like, when was that, like a little over 10 years ago or something. And
as a contestant?
No, as one of the models on the show. And when I got that show, I was like, how am I one of the models? I thought they were going to want me to like straighten my hair and all this stuff. And they were like, no, we love you. And then I started getting like fans and stuff. And I was like, wait, am I not like butt ugly? Like, it was confusing for me. And I was like,
please.
Oh my God, this whole time I've been like internalizing all of this stuff. Yeah. So now I say things in jest that are like cocky or like whatever, but it's like kind of like for my inner child a little bit, because I felt so other for so long.
I love that. And I am going to take that from you and start doing it.
Start doing
it. I feel like that's, I need to apply the same. No.
Yeah, it's you're great. A hottie with a body, honey. You're like, I'm a wet rat.
I'm ugly. Yeah, I'm a wet rat. Okay, so grew up in like a predominantly white school.
Yes.
Like, didn't love yourself, thought you looked different from everybody
yes,
else.
Because I did.
Because you did, not yeah. thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was doing modeling and like commercials, a little bit of like TV stuff, but mostly modeling and a lot of commercials.
And how did you get into that? Did you want to do it? Did you have parents that pushed you into it?
It's such an insane story. Every time I say it, I go, I sound like a compulsive liar, but the story is that I was discovered by Cindy Crawford. It's an insane story. I almost hate saying it because it sounds so crazy, but I was at, look at me being like, oh, poor me, I felt so ugly, blah, blah, blah. But I did have a really challenging childhood, but I was also at a restaurant in Malibu with my dad one day, and Cindy Crawford came up and was like, your daughter needs to be a model. And she gave us the business card to her agent. And so my parents called, and her agent didn't work with kids my age, so they referred me to someone who did. But I always, like, it was always me. Like, my parents aren't in the business.
Yes.
Like, I was born with this mission to yeah. just, like, fucking make it in Hollywood.
I can't believe, hold on, but wait, Cindy Crawford, like, yeah. approached your table.
Yeah, isn't that, it sounds like a lie. It sounds
how
crazy.
Old were you?
I was like young, like just like a couple years old, like a child,
oh
like a baby.
Oh my
yeah.
God. Okay. Wow. That's yeah. nuts. Okay.
I know.
So then crazy. They started sending you out on auditions and.
Yeah. So they started sending me out on auditions, and I very early, like I took it really seriously. Like there was, I remember like a friend had a birthday party and it like conflicted with an audition, and my mom was like, okay, Haley, like you can choose. Do you want to go to the audition or do you want to go to the birthday party? And I was like, I want to go to the audition. But also, I think part of that also stems back to like maybe feelings of like inadequacy or insecurity that stemmed from like my childhood. So
yeah,
now as I continue to be in this business, I'm like, I've been very aware of like, I do this for like the love of like art and creating and not for external validation.
Yeah.
About like with connection. Like I love acting and writing because of the connection.
Yeah.
Which
you probably back then also did. Like there was part of you as a kid or a big part of you yeah. that loved performing, right?
Yeah, and I like, always loved performing. Actually, yeah. Thank you for saying like, that. Yeah.
It's, I'll tell you my story. I have a kind of similar story. When I was a kid, I was a dancer and a singer. And when we were in Argentina, I joined like a music group and I started doing like Madonna impersonations. I was like 11 years old. And I started getting booked on like TV shows and like state fairs and stuff like that. Yeah. And like I would do my Ace of Base routine and my Madonna routine where I would like, I would wear an American flag shirt that I would rip off made of Velcro. And then underneath I had like a garter belt and
no,
like a
at
bra
11.
At 11.
Okay.
And this was the kind of thing that like my parents never pushed me. Like yeah. I loved it. Just like you. Like I yeah. loved doing it. But then I moved to the United States
yeah.
at 13. And like I kind of tried recreating that here, but it was like middle school. I wasn't in my home country. I didn't speak the language. Like, and you're kind of like big, it's like big fish type
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And like, it was the kind of thing where I was like, I don't love being looked at anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it like completely flipped.
Oh,
so now being back to showbiz and stuff is very complicated for me
right.
because I'm like, I love it. But it makes me feel seen in a way that I don't enjoy. I don't know.
Yes,
please, I'm talking to you like you're my
seen.
Therapist right
no,
now.
No, I love
like,
it. I am your therapist. You're my therapist. Okay, I wish that we could go back in time when we were 11 and be besties. Because it
oh
sounds like we would have been Ugh. We would have been such good friends.
That's the thing. Is like, had I had a really good bestie,
yeah.
I feel like things would have been like so much better for me at
yeah.
that age? Did
me
you
too.
Feel like contained in
no,
any way?
No, because I also went to a bunch of different schools. Like,
yeah.
And and a part of it was because I was working as a kid, like some of the schools I went to weren't supportive of me like having to miss so much school, even though when you're working as a kid, you have an on-set teacher and stuff. So I was always like very bright and
yeah.
truly at the top of my class and stuff. But some of the teachers would be like jerks about it. And then also just because of like private, you know, stuff happening with like my family,
yeah.
like I was going to a bunch of different schools. So I never had like a consistent friend base and I never had a bestie.
That does a number on you.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
What were you like at like, I don't know, like when you got your period, like what were you into and what music and all of that stuff?
Okay. So when you talk about getting your period, it makes me think of the first time I shaved my legs.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell you this story?
Please.
Okay, so because I did ballet, you would have, like, the ballet tights. And, like, the proper ballet tights are, like, they're, like, mesh, like, really tiny. And so I would have my, like, leg hair would, like, stick through
oh,
the tights.
I know
and
that.
And all the cool girls, like, they were shaving, right? And I was like, Mom, you have to let me shave. So my mom was worried that I was going to, like, cut myself with – so first of all, it was, like, this whole thing. Like, am I ready to shave my legs?
Yes.
So, and my mom would be like, you know, once you start shaving, you can't go back. Like, it
Which
was like,
is like
the biggest responsibility,
yes.
right? You're like, this is going to change my life. So my mom didn't want me shaving with a regular razor because she didn't want me to cut myself. She was like, you have to have an electric razor. So 1 year for Christmas, I got an electric razor and I was like, I can finally shave. So I go to shave one leg and it like, I was like, I'm not ready for this.
Oh.
Like, oh my God, I'm an adult. I'm not ready for this. And so I didn't shave the other leg.
Oh my God.
So,
you like that is.
I was half shaved. Oh, I wasn't ready to be.
You
a
weren't
woman.
Ready.
No.
That is the most like symbolic or not symbolic, just straight. That's.
Yeah.
My mom would only let. This is all so stupid. It's like,
I
let
know.
Me fucking shave my legs.
Right.
She only let me shave to the knee.
I still only shave to the knee.
I still do too.
I'm like, listen.
But what
if you're
is
getting
that?
Above the knee.
Why not? Like, what's going to happen
I feel
to
like
us?
Because the hair just doesn't grow as much here, right?
But that's what our mothers told
yeah.
us. Like, it's so – I still don't shave above the knee. I'll have these, like, long ones.
Sometimes – I know. I do shave. And then sometimes I will, like, I'll be like, it's time to shave above the knee.
Oh, I love that. I always get, like, the long up here, and then I'll have the really long ankle hair that I forget.
Well, I have tattoos, and one of my tattoos on my ankle – they wouldn't – oh, because I also did – what do they call it? Like electro – like a laser hair
oh,
removal.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I went from being scared to shave to now my to whole like body a, has laser
not
hair removal.
Hair.
No, I have no hair on my body, but they wouldn't do the – over the tattoo right here because they – I don't know, whatever
yeah.
they said. So I will just grow like a bunch of hair right where that tattoo is.
A little patch.
Yeah.
Patch of
like
love.
Like a little patch of love. And I only shave it if I think, you know, someone might get to touch my body that
yeah,
day.
Yeah. Or you should like, it's like a lucky spot to rub. Like the tail of a rabbit.
Touch my hair.
So you were, what were you into music wise?
Okay. Okay. Well, obviously the Spice Girls. I wore a Spice Girls shirt to the post office the other day, and the guy at the post office was like, What a fucking asshole, by the way. Like, this older white guy, he was like, you're dating yourself with that shirt. And I was like,
suck my dick.
I was like, fuck you, dude. The Spice Girls are timeless.
Like, who are you?
I also remember when Eminem came out. Okay, when Eminem came out, I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting at my desk in school, and I remember going, I said, oh my God, there's this new rapper out. His name is Eminem, but not like the candies. And then when the Spice Girls, when Wannabe came out, I was like, I thought it was like a rap song because they like talk fast.
It was.
And I was like, it's like a rap song, but it's not a rap song. But also it did a number on me that like the black one was scary. Like,
oh yeah.
Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah, I really never thought about
that. Yeah, the black one is scary. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we allowed to curse on this podcast?
Oh, okay, yeah. I just said suck my dick into the microphone. Right. I went to soccer practice when Princess Diana died. I printed out a picture of Prince William on my like shitty ass pixelated printer.
Yeah.
And I glued it to a shirt. And I remember going, like, I went to soccer practice and everyone was like, nice fashion.
Oh my God, that's so. I remember when Princess Diana died, I was at my friend's house playing with her guinea pigs. And we were.
I dreamt of guinea pigs last night. What's
you
going
did?
On? Yes.
They're really cute.
They really are. I had a dream that I had a guinea pig that was eaten by rats last night. Ooh, I okay. gotta get back to therapy.
You do have to get back to therapy. And it could be extra symbolic considering the fact that you called yourself a wet rat. Yeah, there's something.
This podcast
there.
Is healing me. I'm going home to make out with a picture of my 12-year-old self tonight. I didn't tell you about my life. I'm Jewish,
yes.
But I'm Latina. And so I had a kind of combination bat mitzvah, quinceañera, when I was 15. None of the religious part, but I did like 15 candles and that was it.
So did you read from the Torah?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Like
okay.
I skipped all of the work. I just wanted like the DJ and the Macarena.
Yeah.
But did you have any like coming of age ceremony? Did you attend any?
Okay. So two things. So the first one is, wait, what were you saying? Okay. So I have this thing that I'm like, maybe I'll convert to Judaism one day. Like if I marry a Jewish guy, I'm like, I want to convert to Judaism. But I also am like, well, then that would require like a lot of work.
Yes.
So one of my friends just converted and she found a really cool rabbi who like didn't make her do that much of the work. But she still like got to convert. She got like dunked in the river. What do they call it? They like put you in the water.
Yeah,
The mikvah.
What
yeah.
is that?
It's like the Jewish version of a baptism.
Of a baptism.
Yeah, and all the things.
Yeah.
Side note, Adrian and I baptized each other in Kauai in the water. It was really beautiful.
Oh, God, I love you guys. Okay.
But.
So she did it kind of easier.
Yeah, I do want to do some of the work because the culture part of it is really significant to me. So I want to like understand all of that. I want to be like steeped in it.
Yeah.
But I'm focused on being like a really good student, so I'm just like stressed about the homework load.
What drew you to Judaism? Like, I'm so curious.
Okay, so I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and uh-huh. a lot of the schools I went to were most of my friends were Jewish.
In the schools. Yeah.
So I actually didn't realize that Jewish people were such a small part of the world's population until maybe like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was really mind blowing to me because I'm like, wait, everyone I know is Jewish. I had no idea.
Yes.
But I'm such a fan of the culture and the people.
I love it. You're just like drawn to it for
I'm really
some
drawn
reason.
To it,
yeah.
Actually. I was talking with my friend about it the other day. I was like, I must have been like Jewish in a past life. Or
yeah.
Jewish in my future life when I find my Jewish baby daddy.
Ah!
I just read The Diary of Anne Frank.
For the first time.
Okay, I'm going to tell you guys, this is another really embarrassing thing. I think I read it when I was a kid, but
it's different when you're an adult. Yes.
I cried so fucking hard that it was like embarrassed. Like I was like, I can't tell anyone I cried this hard because it's like, you know that it's sad and like I didn't want to make it about me. But like I feel emotional talking about it. Like I didn't understand. I didn't expect that it was just going to stop.
I get it. It's a lot of like, I know.
It just stops.
I know.
Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Have you been to her house in Amsterdam?
Yes. I went with Adrian.
Oh.
We went together.
It's amazing. I mean, amazing. It's just like, it's crazy to be there.
Yeah. I wish I could go back now that I've read the book. I bought my copy of the book there, and now I want to go back. But like my biggest takeaway too from the book was also like Anne is, she's one of the besties. Like if she would have been hanging out with us, like she's so smart. She's so witty.
Unreal.
She's
how
so
old was
funny.
She? Was she 14?
Younger. She was like, I think 12 or something. And maybe the diary started when she was 11 yeah. or 12 or something.
And like you get a little bit of everything. You get like her crushes, her insecurities, like, but she's still so mature. Like,
yeah. And just so sweet and always looking on the bright side. Like,
yeah.
And then when she would like talk her little shit, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Incredible.
How she had that dynamic with her mom, like her and her mom
sister,
like, didn't get along. Yeah.
Yeah. So you, okay. So you grew up with a lot of Jews.
I grew up,
then.
I did. I came home one day in fourth grade and I said, Mom, I just had my new favorite food. And she goes, she's like, what was it? And I was like, latkes. Do you know what those are? And she was like, of course. And so then I would always be like, Mom, make us latkes. And my mom did make really good latkes.
How good are latkes? Do you eat them with applesauce and sour cream?
Okay, so I'm vegan now, but there's a place by my house called Hugo's. And mm-hmm. they make vegan latkes and they're so good. And so I do eat them with, I eat them with applesauce.
Oh,
I think they have a
so...
vegan sour cream version, but I do.
And then of Jewish foods, I'm trying to think of what else. Matzo ball soup to me is like a cleanse. Like it's a beautiful, so yeah.
Yeah.
And then challah, our producer Adrian makes challah.
Beautiful
and it's
challah.
So beautiful.
She wraps the herbs in the challah.
Oh, the herbs. I saw the herb one and I was like, how the fuck are you wrapping those herbs
the
in
the tradition
there?
Of it all is just so beautiful. Like, I love the tradition. I love the culture. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible because I think from an outside perspective, like, when people, being a Black woman, when people who are not Black are like, oh, I grew up with a lot of Black people, like, there's a, and my Black friend, like, it can kind of feel awkward. So I always try to be, like, cognizant of the fact that, like, I'm, like, it comes from such a respectful place.
Yeah.
Like, I just think the culture is so beautiful.
It is.
A lot of my friends happen to be Jewish, and I mean that in the least weird way possible. It might be weird to say, though, that I do want to have a Jewish baby.
I am
actively looking to convert.
I would like a Jewish baby, but I'm having zero babies.
You're having zero babies.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
But my dog is Jewish.
Your dog is Jewish.
Did you go to, you went to bat mitzvahs, I assume.
Yeah, okay. So my most shameful story took place at a bat mitzvah. The only other time I've told a person the story was when Adrian, one of the producers on this podcast you keep referring to, asked me to be on this podcast, and I was like, I have a story, but I've literally never spoken it to anyone. Can I tell you what it is? And will you tell me, like, should I just never tell this story to anyone? But she told me it was okay to tell people. So, okay. Can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I'm, like, cleansing myself. Okay. My most humiliating moment. So I went to a bat mitzvah, and at the end of it, like, I've blocked out so much of it, I don't even remember whose bat mitzvah it was, but I was at a bat mitzvah. It was my first bat mitzvah. And they came around and they handed out candy. And it was like, my candy was like the sugary, like orange, like it looked like a little slice of an orange sugar candy.
Yes.
And I go, oh, cool candy. And I open it and I like take a bite of it. And then next thing I know, like everyone's throwing their candy on the stage. And I didn't realize that that's what you're supposed to do. So I went, I looked to my left and I looked to my right. And then I just took my unwrapped candy and threw it on the stage. And then like the rabbi and people came up and they were like collecting the candy for like whatever it symbolizes, sweetness or whatever. And then they like saw mine on the floor.
Just like a
and
wet.
Everyone went like, and like the rabbi went to go pick it up and then he was like, and I was like, I'm like, I can't talk. I internalized that shame for so long. And like, I can't tell you how many times I've woken up in the middle of the night being like,
the wet.
I threw half-eaten candy on the stage of that girl's bat mitzvah.
Please, like, the cutest, and like nothing, like no one even noticed.
I'm like, I feel like I cursed her. Like she's entering a new era of her life, and the Black girl at her bat mitzvah to
like
spat
out
orange candy and threw it on the spat.
I love it.
I think that was the only time I went to like the Torah portion, because I've been to like the bat mitzvahs like parties after.
Yes. But then also like for quinceañeras, I think. Don't they pin money on the dress?
Yes, I think so.
Or is it like weddings? I don't remember. I mean, because
I did go to a quinceañera a couple years ago.
And did they pin money? I don't like remember. I literally, I half-assed my bat mitzvah and I half-assed my quinceañera. So I did like neither of them right. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Do you regret that? Like, do you want to go back and go full out? Or are you happy with the way you did it?
I don't know. Like, would I want to go back? I was in no emotional place to learn the Torah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, I could barely speak at that time because I was so insecure and like just uncomfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
But like, one thing I would do, and I am starting to do now, is I want to reconnect with Judaism a little bit. And like, I'm doing Shabbat dinners like every couple of months or whatever.
I'll invite myself over to one of your
Absolutely.
Shabbat dinners.
I did a, like, you know, again, half-ass Shabbat dinner a couple of months ago, and I was wearing like a low-cut shirt, and everybody kept referring to me as Rabbi Heavies.
Oh my God, I love that.
So, and I actually took a quiz of like, what should your profession be? And I got rabbi.
I think it's what so rule? Cool that women can be rabbis.
Isn't it?
Because in every other religion, it's like women are cut out, right? Like, every other religion, women can't do that. But like, to be a woman rabbi, like, that's freaking awesome.
If I wasn't so fucking lazy, I would probably be
You'd
a rabbi.
Be a rabbi. Okay, well, if I convert and you get unlazy, will you be my rabbi?
Will you? Unlazy.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
This is a rabbi origin story, and I love
it. Yes, and our congregation will be me, you, and Jerry Seinfeld.
I went with Adrienne, who's just, I don't know if you guys are going to edit all this up, but like, she's part of this episode.
She needs to just come sit on. Yeah.
She should have been doing this with us. We went to a bat mitzvah together, and it was for one of my friends who's, she's got some dough. She's got money. It was the freaking fanciest party I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me be like, I want my child to have like a $500,000 bat mitzvah. Like, this bat mitzvah, it was in Hollywood above New House, I think is how you say it, which is like kind of like the Hollywood version of Soho House. So
yes.
It was on the roof, and there was like vendors with what are those things
cotton
called?
Candy.
Cotton candy, but like succulent Mickey, like just all this stuff. And then we went downstairs, and it was like full Laker themed.
Wow.
Delicious food. But like, I'm talking like the bouquets were like huge bouquets on the table. And then, then flowers hanging down, like this was like they spent dough on it. So I'm like, if I do have a child that ends up having a bar bat mitzvah, like I need to start saving now because I want to have one of the really over the top elaborate ones.
Did the child look amazing?
Yes, and she's so cute because she's like a little tomboy. So she like came out in like her little sneakers and stuff.
Oh, that
it
is
was
adorable.
So sweet. And she plays basketball, and in her school they play basketball with the long skirts. So all of her basketball photos are like her in the long skirts. It's so sweet.
Oh, because she's like Orthodox.
Yeah, so my friend was, she's a really, sorry, I keep fucking this up. I'm sorry. She's a really good friend of mine. And she became Orthodox in college. And then her and her husband had three kids together. And then now she's not Orthodox, but she's like very close to Orthodox.
Yes, 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 so, yeah. Yes.
And her kid goes to an Orthodox school. But I'm just like, I can only let my kid have a bar bat mitzvah if I have the money to give them like a really fancy one.
You're not going
to
do like a cheapy one like
I'm
mine.
I'm not going to do a cheapy one. I'm not going to do a cheapy one. I want to spoil the shit out of my child when they get theirs.
If you could throw yourself a bat mitzvah today.
Right.
What would your theme be?
I think it would be the color pink.
Oh my God.
I'm so excited right
now.
No,
I love it. My bat mitzvah was the color purple, not the, like the color purple. Everything was purple.
I'm like the black woman who wants to have a bat mitzvah. You're the Jewish woman who had a color purple themed bat mitzvah. You know what? We're all trying our best in life. That's amazing.
Yes. I love that.
That's
the color
amazing.
Pink.
I think it would be the color pink.
Oh my God.
And maybe also like afros. Like I would want like afros.
Oh my God.
I would tell all my white friends, I would be like, this is the one time.
You would allow them.
A pink afro. We did a Deal or No Deal episode, actually, where all the girls except me wore pink afros.
I have to tell you, I have a channel on my TV for some reason that plays Deal or No Deal
24/7.
What
it all
the
day.
Fuck is
and
that?
And I don't make any money from that. Isn't that fucked up?
What?
Yeah, I'm on TV all day, every day. And
well, I'm
that.
Putting it on tonight, and I'm going to be searching for you like a creep. But for like 6 months of my life, my comfort, my pacifier was to come home and put on Deal or No Deal.
Oh,
Howie Mandel is crazy.
He's so sweet and he's so funny.
I bet he's amazing.
I thought you were going to say Howie Mandel is hot. That's what I thought you
were going
to say you have a Howie Mandel sex dream.
Not a sex dream, but would.
I wonder what it would be like because he's so sterile, no germs.
Very clean penis.
Very clean penis. Very, no STDs, STIs.
On that note, thank you so much for coming. I really enjoyed.
Oh, my
and
God.
And please, where can we find
you? Buddies?
Absolutely,
can we be
Adrian.
Friends?
We're all going to dinner. With my yes, and Rabbi Heavy's will make an
Rabbi
appearance.
Rabbi Heavy's. And we're going to, like, hold up photos of ourselves at 11 years old, and we're and just like, going to change time so that we
baby.
Were buds.
Yes. Yeah. Where can we find you?
Okay, you can find me always on my Instagram, posting unhinged stuff on my stories. I don't know who I am anymore. My Instagram is Haley Marie Norman. Haley's H-A-Y-L-E-Y Marie M-A-R-I-E Norman N-O-R-M-A-N. That's where you can find me.
Amazing. And we will see you next time.